Blog Talk Radio.
I know I just switched this audio, but we're going to have some fun. Here we go. Here it is. Let's have some fun, fellas. You ready?
Uh-oh. Crank it up.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That's right. Start the show. Let's go, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, may the force be with you as always. What a great day.
Well, God.
What? I had to throw that in there, man. Come on, man. Today, of course, I know. May the force. Come on, man. Wednesday. Talking sports to 12th man. We're excited about that. But, of course, you know, I can't help it. I'm a huge fan, too, man. So you call it what it is. But, you know, it is what it is. But
it's all good.
Here we are once again, America. Let's get this show started again. I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host. First and foremost, I'm going to save it for my boy, but let's give it first and foremost to Mr. Robert Ford, hanging out with Johnny Manziel. How you doing this evening, sir?
Well, I don't know how to follow that one up. Everything is going great.
You know,
trying to press forward. We lost one of our followers today, Romaine Gaskins. So prayers goes out to his family. Tough loss, but definitely, I hate cancer. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I was going to save that for the intro too, Rob, but yeah, it was just one of those things where we kind of hit that, and we spent some time with him a couple weeks ago. He kind of deteriorated really fast. So yeah, a lot of prayers to the Gaston family too. It's just one of those things too, that just, you know, it's devastating. Hug your family. Realize that life is short, man. So that's something that we want to say as well. So, you know, it's good for us to kind of have this show, cause it is therapeutic, I would say, Rob, too, for us inside of everything too. So, good vibes, obviously, from that respective too, because, you know, it's sad because, you know, we know he's in a better place, but just, you know, for the family that's left behind too. So we're going to continue to keep that going forward as well. Got to kick it also to our other co-host, Mr. Jaquan Jenkins. I was going to say OH.
Yes, sir. Oh, baby. Love the draft.
Amazingness. I'm going to let you have some fun with that too. Go ahead, sir.
I was going to take my sweats off and see if I can hit that 26 3-pointer for the Cavs. You know, everybody else getting number one. I'm trying to see if I can get the action
man.
As well.
Here we go. He was waiting for that, America. That's okay. I got a couple things for both of you guys, you know. Just wait till the show goes on. So just as a general thing, as the dust clears and kind of settles, we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. And I love the fact that Rob threw some nice topics in here. First and foremost, we are going to throw out the numbers to reach out to us, call us, help me deal with these two guys. I try to keep it clean. 424-25. No, I'm just giving my number. I'm all messed up. 424.
Come on, get it right, Andre.
243-951. Man, hey. I had a night, man. It's been a rough night for me. Okay, that's all I'm saying. But I'm gonna press on. I'm gonna like knock some people out. 424-243-951 is the number. Hit us up on Twitter at the number 12 THMN Sports, and also really quickly, if I can get this in there, we're also on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports or type in Talking Sports to 12th Man. You will find us as well. So we got a lot of things to talk about. I guess we're gonna kick it out number one with the NBA playoffs. And let's kind of kick it in and let's talk about the Warriors right off the bat, trying to bring back Steph Curry too soon. And I think after that performance past night, they're still gonna like take their time with the with bringing back Seth because they don't really need him right now. So I would encourage that too. So let's kind of start off, Rob. What's your thoughts about that? Are the Warriors gonna bring him back too soon? In your perspective?
Hey, if I'm the Warriors, I'm resting and trying to get Steph Curry ready for the Western Conference Finals. I would even bring him back in this series. I don't think they'll have a problem beating the Portland Trailblazers without them, in my personal opinion. I mean, they're still playing outstanding basketball. They're getting it done on the defensive end as well. So you like to see that. They're scoring off turnovers. They're still pushing the tempo. And Klay Thompson has been flat out phenomenal. And I think you're really seeing, you know, how good he is, you know, underneath Steph Curry's shadow for the most part. But he's been outstanding here in this playoffs. And it, like I said, they should not have a problem. If the Clippers was here with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, maybe you rush him back. But they can beat this Trailblazer team without Steph Curry. I say you rest him. You get them back. I'm not even a Warriors fan, but if I'm running that organization, I will be resting them into the Western Conference Final.
JQ?
So I'm going to disagree with that to a point, and this is the reason why. You want Stephen Curry to come back and be in rhythm and have his conditioning set up
yep.
to where it needs to be to play against the Spurs. So if you hold him out and then just say, okay, he's 100% now, and we start him in there, he's going to be out of rhythm. And I don't care how good of a condition you were before you stop playing. You take 3-4 weeks off. It's only so much treadmill and underwater running you can do to keep you in shape. You got to get out there and stop and start and go up and down to get that basketball win back. So if I was them, I would probably hold him out for game three. But maybe game four and game five, I bring him in off the bench just to get him some run. If I feel like he's there to kind of work him up to the San Antonio series so that when that starts, that he's back in full rhythm and his win is almost somewhere back. But if you hold him out the whole time and then say, go play, you're going to have a tired Stephen Curry and an out-of-rhythm Curry, and he's not going to be the Curry you need to beat the Spurs. So I don't think they should rush him back for game three, but for game four or five, you know, maybe bring him off the bench to give him some minutes and then kind of increase his level leading up to San Antonio.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the challenge you run with that is you run the risk of having a re-injury. And that's what you saw what happened in the last series. You know, you came back from the ankle and then you wound up hurting the knee. And I still say
two separate things.
Yeah, it's two separate things. I mean, but, you know, you still run the risk of, you know, having something else wind up, you know, causing another problem in another area. And I think Golden State will be playing with fire if they do that.
Well, the thing about that is, though, he slips on the west side. You can't control that. So if he doesn't slip on that west side, I think his ankle, he comes back and he's okay. I'm not saying playing 35 minutes. I'm just saying that you've got to get basketball conditioning back. And the way that they're going to have to beat the Spurs is to run him out the gym. So you need him to be able to get up and down the court. And it's great. You know, I wouldn't bring him back if he was at 65% with his knee to try to do that. But if he was at 85 to 90% with his knee and then I could ramp him up to 100% and give him minutes to get his basketball conditioning up, I would do that. But if he's still only 70%, then no, I'll hold him out. But if I feel like he's getting closer to 100%, I'll bring him back in spot minutes to try to build that stamina up and get his rhythm back. You know, it's hard just to come right back against the Spurs and feel like you can pick up where you left off just because your knee is 100%. You know what I'm saying? You got to kind of get back in the flow of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of concur. I mean, I agree with you guys on both points that you don't want to bring him back and, you know, like Rob said, and kind of re-injure. But you do have to get him some minutes. And like you said, get him back in the rhythm game. You know, get him like that, maybe like you said, the fourth game, you know, of the series, kind of get him back going. Because like you said, you don't want to come in cold and expect him to do the things he's been doing. You know, obviously, he's a great player, you know, and whatnot. He's not going to have the flu and come back and go crazy. But you have to get him in the flow just to make sure he's up to speed and ready for that challenge too. So good job on that, both guys, both top gentlemen. Really quickly, JQ, I'm going to start with you as far as anything you want to talk about so far with the NBA playoffs from your perspective, sir.
I mean, I hate to beat up on you, Dre, and it's not really so much on the Hawks, but the way the Cavs have shot the ball in these first two games against Atlanta has been surprising to me. I don't really view them as a great three-point shooting team. They've got good three-point shooters, but they're damn near putting on a Golden State-esque performance against the Hawks, and the Hawks team that plays fantastic defense over the course of this year. That stood out to me the most. We all think expect the Golden State to be able to beat Portland with or without Curry. And we kind of feel like, you know, Oklahoma City has enough in Westbrook and Durant to maybe San Antonio, work San Antonio a little bit. But I think we all three agree that San Antonio is probably going to win. And, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, during a Toronto or Miami game. Does anybody hear it? Because I don't think anybody really even cares about that series, to be totally honest, outside of, you know, views from the sticks. So those are just my thoughts on the semifinals.
Rob Ford.
Yeah, when you look at these semifinals, to me, obviously the most intriguing series is the Spurs and the Thunder, and which I think is going to wind up being one of the better series of these entire playoffs. And I know Andre and I had a conversation a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this. If I'm the Spurs, you have to be wary of the Thunder. And obviously they came out in game one like gangbusters and just destroyed the Thunder. But Thunder hung around and wound up stealing the game. You can blame it on the referees. But, you know, there are some things that the Spurs could have done to eliminate some of those calls at the end of the game as well. So I expect this to be a 6-7 game series. I would like to see the Spurs win it, but I still would not be surprised if the Thunder somehow pull off the upset. They just seem to match up pretty well with the Spurs, of course, except for game one, obviously. But other than that, obviously what you're seeing from the Miami Heat, I'm sorry, not the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they have definitely stepped it up here in the playoffs thus far. They're still clearly the favorite in the Eastern Conference. And they can keep playing like this. I mean, you have to say that, you know, we might have an interesting finals, which I'm hoping for. I mean, Golden State gets Steph Curry back healthy. Obviously, they're going to be back there. But obviously, I think Cleveland, if they keep shooting the ball like this, their big three is healthy. And if their role players keep stepping it up like the way they are, we could be set for a great finals.
I just got to say a couple things here, just really quickly. I kind of have to disagree really quickly, JQ, regarding the Toronto-Miami Heat game, only because that was a fantastic shot by Kyle Lowry. Man, that was just amazing, too. So that was great to see that. So that was just from that. So
that was a great game.
Kind of cool to see that. Great game. So I think there's some, and I know it's kind of an agreement with too, JQ. No one's really kind of paying attention, but that's been an interesting game
they
for
are.
Sure. We'll see,
right.
You know, how that plays out. Because, you know, obviously that's a – I'm kind of shocked to see, like, you know, they're kind of struggling a lot. You know, as far as the Raptors are kind of like, you know, we know it's different between the regular season and the playoffs, but I'm sure you had higher expectations and figured it'd be a different series. But got to give credit to Miami Heat and their kind of playoff experience, and Dwayne Wade is clearly carrying that team. And like I said, we'll see if they can pull it off and meet the eventual, you know, next team, which is going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. I have no problems about that. Speaking of the Cavs, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, it is what it is. You got to think they're not always going to shoot that well. You know, that was my thing. I'm like, man, they're going to have one of those nights. They did, but, you know, whatever. It is one of the situations, and I'm not going to beat the dead horse in the room regarding the Hawks. I've adopted the Warriors as my team, so I just hope that we see them in the finals again. And I hope that we kind of destroy them. So that's my thought about that. So you know, that's just kind of how I'm going to carry that one out as well too. So you know, it is what it is. You know, I got nothing. What, Ross?
When the Hawks and the Pelicans are your favorite teams, you got to have a second or third team too. So you know, so I feel your pain on that one.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So you have to have a second and third team. With it when you root for those.
Getting back to the Cleveland
Cavaliers, one of the things you guys have heard me say all season, you know, the Warriors shoot the three ball so well. It's almost like they trade threes for two, and eventually they just, you know, wind up having a 10-15-point lead on you before you know it because they opponents scoring twos while they're scoring threes. And the Cavaliers, I mean, obviously they're not going to hit 25 three-pointers every night. But if they can be somewhere in that 10 to 15 range, they'll have a shot to beat the Warriors. They will have to shoot the three ball as well as they are going to shoot the three ball to have a chance to beat them.
Hey, you know, did you see that? Yeah, if you saw that, they said through the first two games, the Cavs have made 38 two-point baskets, but they've made 40 three-point baskets. And that's, like I said, they're shooting very much like Golden State East right now. And I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't think it is, but I just thought that was an interesting nugget for them. That they did that through the first two games.
Yeah, it's not sustainable, man. There's no way. They don't have that type of – that's just me, you know, obviously. But we'll see.
I don't think
like I said, you know, I don't think so. Well, you know, we'll keep that up.
LeBron is a scorer, but he's not a great shooter.
Yep.
They're going to need guys like Kevin Love. They're going to need guys like Kyrie Irving, J.R. Smith, Dellavedova coming off the bench. Those kind of guys are going to have to knock down the three ball. I don't see LeBron being the type of player that's going to knock him down on a, you know, night-in, night-out basis. Is he going to hit an occasional three? Yes. But he has to be the facilitator to get those guys open behind the three-point line. And if they can knock it down, that's going to be the only hope of having a chance to beat Golden State, in my opinion.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. All right, let's kick it here since, you know, JQ is, you know, talking a lot of junk here. Let's kind of move on to his Lakers here. And, you know, obviously
he needs a second and third team,
players.
Too.
I just want good basketball. That's all I'm rooting for. Just root for good basketball.
But he revealed the five players. And, yeah, congrats. I know you're pretty solid about Luke Walton. You're not – seems like you're not happy about that move, JQ. But congrats. Okay, I'll take that back. But, yes, a lot of things happening. Interesting. I'll let you talk about that, too, because it's pretty interesting that there's – he didn't say a pretty young player here as far as somebody that he wanted to keep. So, yeah, I'll let you kind of talk about that. But we'll see how something happens with that. So, yeah, go ahead. Floor is yours, JQ.
Yeah, the thing about it is I'm happy with Luke Walton as a coach over what they were talking about, the Derek Fishers of the world and keeping Byron Scott. I'm sorry, they're ex-Lakers. I know they helped get the championships. But from the coaching ranks, they're not those guys. And I don't necessarily want Phil Jackson because I think the triangle is – it's hard to institute and get success with it everywhere you go. And just because it worked with a couple set of great players doesn't mean you can just put it anywhere and have it work. So, you know, but Luke Walton also had a great team as an assistant coach in Golden State, so let's not forget that as well. But I think of the best available, I think he's somebody that's young enough to relate to those guys but can bring some of that philosophy from Golden State to the Lakers. So I am happy about that. Those five guys that they talked about, the only one that surprised me was Lou Williams, only because he's a little older. And he may be one of your best trade tips for a team down the stretch that needs some, you know, punch off the bench that you may be able to recruit another pick or something out of. But I read the report where they were trying to target Paul George. I don't know if Indiana's even going to listen to that. But even if you get the top three pick and somehow you can get the top one to get Ben Simmons, you're going to have to part with two of Russell, Randall, Clarkson, and Nance plus that pick to get PG. And then that may be just enough to get Indiana even to answer the phone call. Or anybody else that you go to Target to get. So I think that's great to put out there to see if it'll work. But I don't think that's necessarily going to work. Another team is going to do that. You're going to have to land this pick and then get somebody in a free agent without a cap space and say, okay, I can go there. They have a lot of good pieces, a la like LeBron saw with having Kyrie there and said, oh, well, we can go get Love because he's being dangled. Somebody that goes and says, okay, they got a good nucleus. If we get rid of one of these guys or, you know, this guy and a couple picks, to bring a third player in here, then, you know, we can make a statement. But I think that's how they get it done. I don't know, you know, they're going to be a lot like the Timberwolves if the way they're going, they're building. The Timberwolves have a lot of young talent, but they need a veteran to come in there, a superstar to come in there and help take the lead dog role and let everybody fall back into place. I think the Lakers are going to have the same thing.
Really quick, Rob, before you answer, this just in looks like AC Green. No, he turned it down. Sorry.
Stop.
Rob, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, AC Green, he's still rocking that jerry curl. I think he got rid of it.
Oh, man.
He got
rid
of the stains on the back of the seat like the
boomerang. Coming to America.
That's it. Coming to America. I'm sorry. I got my Eddie Murphy movies mixed up.
Give me that hat
to go. But, yeah, the Lou Williams thing was a slight surprise, as JQ mentioned, but I guess when you look at this day and age in the NBA, you definitely need shooters on your team. You have to have guys that can knock down a three-point shot, and so that's the Lakers' thought process. What, you know, we have to keep them around. You got to have those guys that can spot up and knock down those three-pointers, open threes, especially if you luck up and get somebody like a Ben Simmons who can penetrate and you can kick out, get guys open behind a three-point line, could possibly be poor man's LeBron James. So you have to look at that as well if they luck up and get a player like Ben Simmons. Indiana would be foolish to even entertain a phone call from the Lakers about Paul George.
Foolish,
agreed. To me, there's nothing that the Lakers can offer that would tempt me, not even the top pick in the draft. would tempt me as far as getting rid of Paul George, because you still don't know what you're getting with that top pick of the draft. And you know where Paul George is. He's come back from injury. He's playing at an elite level, and he's got to be one of the top 10 players in the NBA today. So I think Indiana would definitely, you have to politely hang up the phone in the Lakers' face somehow if they make that phone call.
I agree with that. I would love it, but I agree with that.
Let's keep the train going, because I was going to say, just like what happened tonight, man, I feel like I've been blindsided. Kind of similar to Byron Scott, man,
Stop.
It's kind of funny, man. He says he feels like the Lakers blindsided him. JQ, what do you think about that?
Byron Scott is ridiculous, and I can't even believe he put his lips together to say those words. Bro, did you see your record in these 2 years? I mean, the thing about it is, yeah, you got involved in the whole Kobe for a World Tour, but he wasn't doing a good job to me in terms of trying to build the young guys up. And sometimes old school works and sometimes it doesn't. But when it's clear that it's not necessarily working, then you got to be able to be flexible enough to shift gears. And I think he's a good coach for a veteran team maybe, but for a bunch of young guys, I just don't think it works. And everybody outside of the Scott family saw this coming. So I'm not quite sure how he felt blindsided. That to me is just an utterly ridiculous statement.
Yeah, that's one of those situations. He never played young players, so I know Rob, you can attest to that too, because he just wanted to, keep that going.
Same
too.
Thing
so
with
ahead,
the Hornets.
You see guys like
J.R. Smith lighting it up, and Byron Scott never put him in a game with the Hornets. Brandon Bass, another guy, solid role player, could never get on the floor with the Hornets back in the day. This was prior to the Pelicans, of course. And I can definitely attest to that. He's never been a coach. The only guy I can remember as a rookie that he played was Chris Paul. And that's about the only guy that I can think of that he's ever played and really, turn him loose as a rookie was Chris Paul.
So, like I said, I kind of understand his point being blindsided for tonight. But other than that, craziness, that's a little crazy talk, man. From Mr. Scott here.
The one thing that Byron Scott mentioned, he said when he got the head coaching job with the Lakers, he said that they promised him 3 years. They knew it was going to be a rebuilding situation, and they were going to give him at least 3 years. So that's where I think his comments was coming from as far as the blindsided standpoint. He didn't think he was going to be let go after 2 years. He thought he was going to be at least given a third year to see what kind of progress he can make with another high draft choice and some, D'Angelo Russell and those guys. But, what did he want, 38 games or 28 games in 2 years?
I haven't even paid attention.
Yeah.
I know, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah, I know it's bad. It's like, okay, you get a third year just not to play the young guys anymore. Is the rookie going to get on the court? I mean, come on, Byron, stop it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, we got about 6 minutes here, guys. I want to kind of really quickly talk about a couple things because I definitely want to talk about spending some time talking about the NFL draft here. Rob, what's this about your boy, Leander Barbosa here, horse medicine? I'm curious about this myself, sir. Go ahead, man.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I forget the exact call of the medicine, but Leandro Barbosa, during an interview, he's 33 years old. He's not totally old. But he was asked about how he still has that speed and how he still has that endurance when he's out there on the floor. And he talked about some medicine that he's using. And he said it's the medicine that helps him recover from injuries and increases endurance and things like that. He takes it in a liquid form. And he said it's actually medicine that they give horses before they run. And so he actually takes it. So I thought it was pretty interesting, and I started thinking. I wonder if that's a legal substance for NBA.
Sounds like, that's what it sounds like. But near antlers with Ray Lewis over here.
Oh yeah
absolutely.
go ahead, JQ.
I was thinking. Yeah, the NBA will be giving you a call tomorrow to say, "Here's your random cup to go piss in, bro. And let's go see about this. Let's go see about this medicine." Because I was like, why would you even say that out loud? Like, I that's ridiculous. That's something you just keep to yourself, Not everything.
Yeah, it sounds like the same cream Barry Bonds unit to help him recover from injuries.
Right. And it wasn't flaxseed oil like he was saying it was. So that's sometimes you just got to keep things to yourself and let it be. Not everything is for public consumption.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, really quickly. All right, so 5 minutes exactly. The Raptors apparently are taking offense to what LeBron James said about Dwayne Wade, his comment. So I'm going to let you lead with this, JQ, your thoughts about that, and we'll kind of talk about the draft right after that we get ready for the OT. So what are your thoughts about that?
You're talking about where he's talking about he wants to see Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals, just basically.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Again, there are certain things that you can think, but you just don't say out your mouth. And he's very passive aggressive, and I don't understand it. You don't say stuff like that. I mean, even Toronto, how about the Hawks? Even if they got destroyed tonight, you got to look like, wait, bro, you got to get through us first. Like, you answer that question after you've made it and they've made it. And then you go from there. You don't give anybody bulletin board material, no matter how bad you think you can beat them. Again, sometimes some things are just left for your mind, left for the private conversation between you and Dwayne Wade and Bosh and Chris Paul on the banana boat. You know, talk about that then. Don't talk about that right now. It's just not a good look.
Rob Ford.
Well, I think, you know, Toronto, hey, if you don't want Miami to be there, go out there and beat them. Obviously you want to use it as motivation, but yeah, I mean, this should definitely motivate you to go out and play a lot harder. But hey, if you want to, you know, shut LeBron James up and, you know, and keep Miami from being in the Eastern Conference Finals, then go out there and beat them. I don't think they will, but
right.
But if you want, hey, if it's offended you, go out there and beat them.
Very true.
I'm taking out people, man. That's my new statement, man. That's what I'm doing, man. all right, before we get to the NBA and the OT.
Oakley.
I'll say Oakley. after every hit, man. Oakley. Remember Xavier McDaniel? That's what I'd be like. Xavier?
Yeah.
Boom. Sorry. Everyone.
Hit him with that Dale Davis.
That's right. Dale Davis. Dang, that's classic. See? And there's no more players like that in the NBA. Just, you know, you ain't going to come down the lane and just, like, dunk on me. I mean, that's not happening anymore. It's just kind of sad. And even these guys, they weren't the best as far as, you know, athletically or whatever. But they knew their role. Their role was, hey, somebody comes in, you take fouls, you take charges, you be physical. And that's what needs to happen in the playoffs. Maybe not during the regular season, but in the playoffs, whenever things got shortened, there's a role for those guys, too. That's what I miss about the NBA, too, so. Andre, little side thing. I'm sorry, guys. Really quickly, Rob, 20 seconds here. Talk about your boy Chris Bosh and the season being over, and I'll throw it to you, JQ, to get the OT going.
Well, obviously, it's a big blow. You hope that he recovers going forward for his career. You know he missed the end of last season as well, and so you have to wonder if this is a real concern for Chris Bosh going forward. You hate for the league to lose a player of that caliber, but hopefully they can find the right solutions. Obviously, he's been battling with blood clots and things like that, so it's a very serious issue, and hopefully they can find this solution. If this Miami team had Chris Bosh, I think they can compete with Cleveland. I don't think they'll beat them, but if they had Chris Bosh, Pat Riley mm-hmm. could almost be having another Eastern Conference champion if he was healthy. I mean, that's just how well Miami is playing right now. So we just wish him the best and hopes that he and the doctors can find a solution as far as moving forward with his career.
I said 20 seconds, Rob. 10 seconds, JQ. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and my whole thing is I wonder what this meeting is going to come up with the NBA Players Union, because they want to talk to the Heat, because if you've been watching, I know you guys have, the Bosh family is trying to get him back on the court. He's been out there shooting. His wife is, you know, bring Bosh back hashtag. So we're interested to see what comes out of that. If he has to some kind of waiver, that if something happens to him on the court, they aren't liable for it. Because I'm pretty sure that's where the Heat are coming from.
Yeah, 40 seconds, Rob, for the OT portion.
OT, we got some NFL draft coming up, so you definitely don't want to miss that. So we'll be mostly talking about the NFL. We may talk about some cities that's due for professional franchises and sports. So stay tuned for that. We can't give you this portion live, so definitely tune to this same link on tomorrow. Anytime tomorrow, click on the same link. You can hear our coverage to see how we think your team did in the NFL draft. And if we don't cover your team, send us a message on Facebook and Twitter. We'll definitely respond to you. I know the Dallas Cowboy fans and San Diego Chargers fans gave me some grief on Twitter. They didn't like the grades that I gave them. But, oh, well, you know, y'all get over it. But we'll be on next week, Monday night. Monday night we'll be on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll be on Monday night live. You don't want to miss that. We'll be mainly talking about NBA, of course. Maybe squeeze in a little football. We'll start getting you ready for the fall. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say stay classy, San Diego, but my Cincinnati Reds are a hot dumpster fire sandwich right now. The bullpen has allowed a run in 21 straight games, which is a major league record that you do not want. Come on, Cincinnati. You got to fire the coach. You got to fire the general manager. How do you come out of spring training with these guys? The payroll for the bullpen is $4.75 million, which is second lowest in the league behind Tampa Bay. And they've given up 21 straight runs. So there you go. Do something, Cincinnati. Hashtag fire everybody.
You know, I got to tell you, I love you guys.
You
too, I really love you guys, man. I really do. That's hilarious. We got to work on your 10-second and 20-second guys. I got to tell you, man, you know, because, you know, OT portion was done during Robert's, you know, little tirade there. But that's okay. You know, we're gonna put a clock next to you guys next time because, you know, I'm trying to get everything going. But it's all good. It's all good. We're in the OT portion. And once again, the NFL draft recap, I know me and Rob, we talked about this earlier. JQ, it's tough to do grades, you know, if you will, because everyone's thinking that they did a good job, and, you know, you can't really grade the team until I would say probably 3 years after that draft too, you know, because it is a crapshoot ultimately too. So I just want to just kind of kick it off with you, JQ, because a lot of love to Ohio State, man. They represented, you know,
yes,
a lot of love to Rob for making some good calls as far as his picks. But, you know, if
don't
you
make JQ's head bigger than what it already is.
I just got to see it, man.
Hey, the Saints took two Ohio State players. So, yeah, shout out to Ohio State.
You better get your T-shirt.
And your shoes, too, right? But you know, like I said, a couple things like we did talk about before that, guys. We talked about how the draft was going to change, you know, right at that number three position, and it did, you know, because obviously, you know, huge surprise in the Chargers getting Joey Bosa, and then it just kind of set a hold on the thing. Then Ezekiel Elliott went, and then Jalen Ramsey went, and then it kind of had a whole little different feel as far as the draft. So I'm going to let you guys kind of talk about that, talk about your teams, guys, because I'm sure you want to kind of get that off your chest. And you know, the dust has settled, like we said, and kind of talk about this and what you guys feel who did well, in your opinion, even though it's hard to kind of grade them for now. But, you know, the floor is yours, JQ, and you kind of start from that. I'll kick it to Rob, too.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you started off, I guess, we have to talk about Ohio State. Now, I want to say at one point in the draft when I was watching the ESPN coverage that Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson during the first two rounds had 28% of all the players selected in those two rounds, which I thought was just an amazing stat. Basically, one out of every three players came from those three schools. And we'd be remiss not to talk about the draft, to talk about what happened to Tunsil, because I've never seen anything like that happen during the draft where that kind of ridiculousness happens literally right before the draft starts and you just watch a player slide, you know, and luckily Miami saved him because I don't know where he would have went. But for my team, I was really happy with 4 of the 7 picks. We had a pick in every round, and I loved the Jackson pick. I thought, you know, he was underrated cornerback out of Houston. I'm glad that they didn't panic, even though all the wide receivers we wanted went right before us, but they didn't panic. They took the best player on their board, and a lot of people were very high on Jackson, as was I, to give them some insurance in case Kirkpatrick leaves. I love Tyler Boyd in the second round as a replacement for Sanu and Jones as a compliment to Eifert and A.J. Green. I thought that was a good pick. Not really sure about this Nick Vigil guy. I really wanted Brothers, the inside linebacker from Missouri. I think he would have been perfect next to Dansby and to Burfict, but, you know, we'll see about that guy. But, you know, rounds 4 and 5, you know, getting Andrew Billings in the 4th round and Christian Westerman in the 5th round, those guys had, you know, top 60 grades on them. I think it's what a hallmark to what Marvin Lewis has been doing the past couple of years. And I gave him a lot of grief, and rightfully so, for his coaching. But as a GM and getting Paul Brown to pick the right players, I think he's been doing a great job. The 6th and 7th pick, you know, the Cody Core pick from Ole Miss, I thought there was other receivers in that. I think Garrett from the Toast, I think it went undrafted, I would have taken over Cody Core, but we all know that Marvin Lewis just has a super infatuation with all things SEC, and he couldn't come out without an SEC pick, so that was that piece. And the other one, Cash, the safety from Duke, that went also went undrafted when you took the safety from Illinois. I didn't understand that. And I'll just end it with this. I don't know why anybody even drafts anybody from Illinois. The Illinois program, Northwestern, look, if I'm a GM, I'm drafting from the Southeast, Texas, California, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and you can't tell me that my team would not be the bomb. Why are we even drafting out of Illinois? Why? Iowa, Illinois, into that? No, you can have all those guys. I'm not drafting any of those.
They got pictures.
Sorry.
They got pictures, JQ.
I'm just saying, that's me. That's me.
Oh, man. Oh, Rob Ford.
Well, I'll just start off with, you know, how the top five. Obviously, we all kind of knew with the one and two, the way the draft was going to go with those first two picks. Then we kind of did not know the way the Chargers was going to go. It was kind of up in the air. Obviously, the Tunsil situation may have changed them. Not sure if they were going to go with Bosa all along
crazy.
There.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, obviously we'll never know if that had any effect on the Chargers, of course, going with Bosa. And still, you know, I gave the Chargers a slight downgrade. I got some grief from their fans on Twitter for taking Bosa at three, and as well as the Cowboys fans by Ezekiel Elliott. And, you know, my thing is with the Ezekiel Elliott pick, I think the guy is going to be a stud. But you always have to be concerned about taking a running back that high because you don't know the longevity of what their careers are going to be from the beatings that they're going to take. And, if you look at the last 15 to 20 years, you can probably only say that Adrian Peterson is about the only one that did something into his 30s. Even LaDainian Tomlinson, you start to see him slowing down around 28, 29. And so every pick in the top 11 of the draft was the four most important positions in football is quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, and cornerback. Every top 11 pick in this draft was one of those positions except for the Cowboys taking a running back. And so, I mean, that would be, you know, that's the only reason I gave them a slight downgrade with the draft. And I didn't like their second-round pick either, Jalen Smith. I thought that was too risky to take him that high in the draft. He's pretty much not going to play all of next season. And so, mm-hmm. I gave them a downgrade with that selection as well with the Cowboys. But, you know, I got a lot of grief from Cowboys fans, both in person as well as on Twitter. And JQ's Bengals, I thought, did fairly well. I gave him an A-. And, he pretty much, already said everything I was going to say about the Bengals with Jackson, Boyd, Billings, and Westerman. I mean, they got great value with all four of those picks when they took them. The only one I thought was a slight reach was the Vigil pick. From Utah State. And of course, you know, getting to my Saints, I gave the Saints a B+. Of course, I like the Sheldon Rankins pick. Michael Jenkins, we picked him at 47. I have him going somewhere around 48. So I don't know if that's like a huge reach. The only thing I would say there is that we probably had a couple of defensive players.
Michael
that...
Jenkins or Michael Thomas? You talking about Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas.
Did I say Jenkins?
Yeah,
those
two
Ohio
State kids mixed up. I told you, I got
all
Ohio State frame of mind.
Michael Thomas. No, we don't want no Michael Jenkins.
Yeah,
Michael Thomas. So, you know, there were some couple of defensive players. We'll see. The Saints do need somebody to replace Marcus Colston. So hopefully he will be the answer there. I like the trade back in to get Von Bell. I think where we got him in the latter part of the second round was a steal as well. And our seventh-round pick, getting running back Daniel Lasco from California, I thought was a steal as well. I had him going around the fourth, fifth round. We got him in the seventh. The only question mark, of course, we traded up in the fourth round to draft this kid from Canada. Well, he's from Nigeria, played college ball in Canada. Tremendous athlete. I think he's raw. He's only played football for 4 years. He's about 6'4", 300 pounds. David Anuata. 6'4", 300 pounds. So we'll have to see what kind of player he turns out to be. That was the one. We got him in the fourth. I had a six-round grade on him. And so that's about a two-round reach, in my opinion. So I gave the Saints a B+. A couple other teams that I like. I'm just going to talk about two teams. Jacksonville Jaguars, I gave them the best draft in my opinion, the entire league. Getting Jalen Ramsey, of course, at five, where they got him, of course. And Miles Jack, all indications are he's going to be healthy to play at the beginning of the season. There could be some microfracture surgery that he might have to have down the line, but we'll see. But of all indication is if he's healthy, his Jacksonville team could be a stud on defensively pretty quickly. And even a third-round pick, getting Nakua Roy from Maryland, and he's a situational pass rusher that can come in and help him. And also Sheldon Day on your sub-packages. He can help him in the inside on pass rushers as well. Probably won't be a starter, but when they get to the sub-rush packages, Sheldon Day is going to be able to help them as well. So I really like what they did. The other team I gave an A to was the Cleveland Browns. Other than their first pick, I thought they reached on Corey Coleman, but every other pick in the draft, I thought they got very good value, getting Emmanuel Ogba at the top of the second round as well, a guy that can come in and help them, a very athletic pass rusher. I'm still a little concerned about their quarterback position. Cody Kessler is a guy I really like, but I don't think he's going to be a starter for at least 3 or 4 years in the NFL. And so that's the only thing you have to wonder about the Cleveland Browns. But other than that, other than the Corey Coleman reach, I thought they did very well the rest of the draft. Now, Andre's not going to want to hear this, but the team I gave the worst grade to in the draft was the Atlanta Falcons. And it's not because I hate the Falcons. I just thought they did. They reached tremendously on their first two picks. Deion Jones, of course, had a third-round grade. Keanu Neal, a second-round grade. So I thought those were reaches, in my opinion. I think when the kid got picked from Oakland, they panic and draft the safety. My thing is, if you're going to take a guy that high, you ought to trade back and at least get something in return. Get an additional pick. I like what Tampa did when they did Hargraves. They traded back, and they were still able to get him at 11, and they've got an additional pick for him. Maybe that's why they sacrificed taking that kick in the second round. But, I gave the Falcons the lowest grade of every team in the league in the draft. And not because I hate them, but being as objective as possible, I think they had quite a few reaches on their board.
It's kind of tough, man, you know, speaking of drafting a kicker, man, because I really felt bad about, you know, I was looking at Tampa Bay getting, you know, I'm like, wow, they actually drafted the kicker. But it did remind me whenever the Saints had that one kicker, you know, whenever they drafted the punter, you know, in 1979. You know, Russell,
he didn't even know that until I told him that today, JQ, by the way.
I looked it up. I found out that, you know, his first game, you know,
was
actually against the Falcons. He couldn't even beat out the you know, couldn't even beat out the regular kicker, so he became a punter. And his first game was against the Falcons, and, you know, he fumbled the snap, and he threw an interception, and the Falcons ended up winning that. That was in 1979. So that's a little history.
Wow.
For
1979.
You know,
look how far back he had to go, JQ.
I just figured that was, you know, right there up there. Just really quickly, because we got 2 minutes here, and I'm going to use all the 2 minutes. So next week, Monday night, all that fun stuff too. Just really quickly about, you know, and I agree with you, Rob. I mean, every Falcon fan, we were pretty upset that first day because we didn't know what was happening whenever you drafted Keanu Neal. But, you know, my thing is after kind of taking a day to kind of calm down, I was like, okay, all right. So, you know, you got the guy that you wanted. And that's why it's tough to make that assessment as far as, like, right now, because, you know, maybe they were like, there wasn't a pass rusher that fit what they were looking for. Maybe there was a run. Maybe there wasn't a team that was going to trade with them, because the word on the street was Keanu Neal was going to get taken three picks later by the Steelers. So there's still no guarantee about that. And maybe they're like, hey, we might as well get our guy, call it a day. So from that vantage point, they got the guy they wanted. You can't fault him. And there's been a lot of reaching and a lot of things that supposedly what we thought about that. What I would say is that it sets us up for next draft, because you got enough speed on defense, you got your linebackers, you got your safety, and now maybe you can focus on next year, which is going to have a great, great class of defensive ends and rushers, so you're good to go. So that's my 2 cents. A lot of love. I'm proud of you guys as far as the recap of the drafts, and we'll keep it going too. So, you know, we got about a minute, guys. So if you want to – we'll talk about the quarterbacks for next year and the situation. We'll talk about the top cities. If we can push that to next week, Rob, that would be fantastic, because I'm sure we got a lot of things to discuss too. So really seriously, you got 10 seconds to say your last thing, JQ, and 10 seconds for you, Rob, too.
I like the Texans draft. I like them to speed. Getting Fuller, Miller, and Tyler Irvin from San Jose State, I think they're going to be really tough to watch out. I think they put the Colts on notice in the AFC South, along with Jacksonville.
Rob.
Andre said it best earlier, the true draft grades will be made in 3 years. If I'm right, I'm going to admit I was right. If I'm wrong,